Trinity Sunday, a reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 28, verses 16 to 20. The 11 disciples set out for Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had arranged to meet them. When they saw him, they fell down before him, though some hesitated. Jesus came up and spoke to them. He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, make disciples of all the nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all the commands I gave you. And know that I am with you always, yes, to the end of time."
The scene is Mount Tabor after the resurrection of Jesus, and near where Peter, James and John had previously witnessed his transfiguration. Present are all the apostles, all the shepherd disciples, together with the boy Margiam, many of the 72 disciples, and many more. They are in the shade of some trees, not where the transfiguration took place, but halfway up the hill, where a wood of oak trees seems to be wanting to veil the summit and support the sides of the mountain with its powerful roots. Almost everybody is dozing because of the hour, and also because of the inactivity and the long wait. But the cry of a boy, "I do not know where he is or who he is, because I cannot see from where I am," is sufficient to make them all stand up in a first impulsive movement, which soon changes into prostration with their faces among the grass. "Peace to all of you. Here I am among you. Peace to you. Peace to you." Jesus passes among them, greeting and blessing. Many weep, many smile blissfully, but there is so much peace in everybody. Jesus stops where the apostles and the shepherds form a thick group with Margiam, Manaen, Stephen, Nicholas, John of Ephesus, Hermas, and some of the more faithful disciples whose names I do not remember. I see the man from Chorazin who left the burial of his father in order to follow Jesus, and another whom I have seen at other times. Jesus takes in his hands the head of Margiam, who weeps while looking at him. He kisses his forehead and then presses him against his heart. He then turns around towards the others and says, "Many and few. Where are the rest? I know that my faithful disciples are many. Why are there hardly 500 people here without taking into account the children?" Peter, who had remained kneeling on the grass, stands up and speaks on behalf of everybody. "Lord, between the 13th and 20th day from your death, many people have come here from many towns in Palestine, saying that you have been among them. Many of us, in order to see you sooner, went, some with this one, some with that one. Some have just left. Those who came here said that they had seen you and spoken to you in different places. And, what was wonderful, they all said that they had seen you on the 12th day from your death. We thought this was a deceit from some of those false prophets that you said would arise to deceive the chosen ones. You said so on the Mount of Olives that evening before. Peter, again seized with grief at that recollection, lowers his head and becomes silent. Two tears, followed by more, fall from his beard onto the ground. Jesus lays his right hand on the shoulder of Peter, who quivers at that contact, and, as he dare not touch that hand with his own, he bends his neck and his face to caress that adorable hand with his cheek and touch it lightly with his lips. James of Alphaeus continues the story. And we discouraged people from believing those apparitions near the Great Sea or near Bosra or Caesarea Philippi, Pella or Kadesh, the mountains near Jericho, the Esdraelon Plain, the Great Hermon, and to other places which have no names. Too uncertain. Some people said, "We have seen him and heard him." Others sent word that they had seen you and even had a meal with you. Yes, we wanted to hold them back, because we thought that they were either snares of those who oppose us or fantasies seen by just people who think of you so much that they would end up by seeing where you are not. But they wanted to go away, some here, some there, and so we are reduced to less than one third. "You are right in insisting to hold them back," replies Jesus. "Not because I have not really been where they said, but because I ordered you to stay here, united in prayer, awaiting me. Because I want my words to be obeyed, particularly by those who are my servants. If my servants begin to be disobedient, what will the believers do?" It is now the day of Jesus' ascension into heaven on a hillside above Gethsemane. During a long discourse to his apostles and disciples, Jesus says, "There will no longer be a kingdom of Israel, but my kingdom, and it will be accomplished when the Father says, 'It is not for you to know the times and the moments that the Father has reserved for himself in his power.' But in the meantime, you will receive the virtue of the Holy Spirit who will come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and as far as the boundaries of the earth. You will establish meetings where men meet in my name, baptizing peoples in the most holy name of the Father, of the Son, of the Holy Spirit, as I told you, so that they may have the grace and may live in the Lord, preaching the gospel to everybody, teaching what I taught you, doing what I ordered you to do. And I shall be with you every day, even until the end of the world." Azaria, Maria Valtorta's guardian angel, says, "It is like 20 centuries ago. Jesus Christ, the Saviour, comes more for the Gentiles than for his own. He comes more for the sheep without a shepherd than for the 99 sheep already safely in his fold. He has been, is, and will be he who is salvation for all who are able to seek and desire him. Now then, without distinguishing between the ones that are in the flock and the ones that are not, be capable of loving, suffering, and working, considering that 20 centuries ago, heaven was opened to grant the Saviour and Master, not to Bethlehem, or Nazareth, or Jerusalem, or all Palestine, or even vaster Israel scattered around the world, but to give him to all men. This is the spirit of preparation for the coming of Christ, the supreme charity of God. It is the spirit of universal love, so that all men will go to the kingdom of God, to the house of the Father. To you, moreover, there corresponds an even greater task of love, and you know why and for whom. But do not be discouraged by the greatness of the love being asked of you. What you have received is so much. Be generous then in giving in every way, to the point of total consummation. Be heroic. Afterwards, everything will seem so little in comparison to what you will have. Raise your spirit, Look at the joy coming to you from your God. Look at your God, who is your joy and who is coming to you to comfort you. Be heroic in obeying God, whom you know is greater than all created things, and for whom you must be willing to suffer all, to keep yourselves faithful to him and possess him for eternity. I shall be with you in the hours of trial, for this is what all the words of truth promise, which one must be able to grasp with one spirit, to act and not fear. God is with those obedient to his will. The persecutors remain here below. O you that are obedient to God, beyond life they cannot reach you. A day will come when they will see you again and be amazed to observe you among the blessed.